bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Come on, y'all. My soul maketh her boast in the Lord. Somebody say amen. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Come on. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for he is good. Amen. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come on, sir. Amen. 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 Good to be with you today. Good to be with you today. Good to be with you today. Praise God. Good to be with you today. I'm glad to be amongst the people of God. Amen. I'm glad to be amongst the people of God. Mikos, I don't know why you're sitting so far back, brother. I thought you were real about this thing, man. I called you out. You got to come on up here, man. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. I don't know why you're sitting so far back there, man. It's all right. He don't want none of this glory to come out on him. It's all good, man. Let's sing a song. Let's sing He Touched Me. Amen. Let's sing this song. Somebody start it off for me. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame. What happened? Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Amen. Amen and amen. Where are my seniors at? Where are my seniors at? Make a noise for me. I'm sorry, I wasn't talking about the seniors. I'm talking about the old folk back here, the seniors. Come on. enough with the shenanigans. There's a word from the Lord this morning, and I want to get right to it because it's an important word. And you can find and run over there with me to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 22, and we'll read down to verse number 26. And if it's your custom to stand for the word of God, feel free to do so. Mark chapter number 8, verse number 22 through verse number 26. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit upon his eyes, he put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, and he made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Verse 26 says, and he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it in any town. For a few moments, I want to label our text this morning in our exchange and speak from this sermonic thrust. Here we go. I'm in need of another touch. Now, I know it's not your custom, but I want you to turn to somebody right next to you and say, I need another touch. Y'all sound like y'all didn't believe it. Y'all don't believe it. So by the end of the sermon, you'll be saying, I need another touch. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I sure do thank you for this opportunity to stop, pause, pray, preach. I do pray, God, for your present help on this ancient scripture. It's a past event, Lord, and we need your power to bring it alive. God, we need you to step in this building and use this man, just a bag of flesh, Lord God, and I pray that you would use me. I pray, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be acceptable in thy sight. I pray, God, that my words might be used for the use of edifying. And then, God, I do ask that you'd help me to have clarity of mind, concision of speech, and yes, sir, conviction of heart. Thank you again for this opportunity. I'm thankful for all the faculty and staff here. And God, I thank you, and I ask that you would guide us now as we walk through this text. Help us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our text is situated in the book called Mark. Verse number 8, verse 26 is what we just read. And if you spend any amount of time studying in your Bible classes, your teachers are going to teach you some things about the Gospels. How that sometimes some things that happen in the Bible are not actually in chronological order. And so what I was doing as I was studying for this message, I ran to my Reese Chronological Study Bible, because there are several stories hidden here in the text, and they're right behind each other happening. They're just happening right behind each other. And I said, God, is this how this was supposed to be set up? Is this how this actually happened? Is this the order that it was in? And I began to look at the text, and I said, okay, God's got a message here in this passage of Scripture, not just the text that we just read, but the whole passage, the whole Mark chapter 8 has a overarching theme in the text, and I don't want you to miss it, so I'm going to give it to you here in a few moments. But I want you guys to put your thinking caps on, because I'm going to use you for a little bit. And I want you to think, and I want you to try to figure out what God is saying here in the text. What was the original intent of them writing this text and putting it in this order? And as we look through it, I was thinking about Matthew, how the book of Matthew was written for Jews, and some people that were familiar with the Old Testament, they would be able to understand the things in the book of Matthew. They would know the genealogy and things of that nature. The people that were looking at the book of Luke, who was written by, they would look at it, and you'll see if you read the first three verses of the book of Luke, you'll see there that he uses some giant words there. And he used some words, it sounds like a theologian or sounds like a doctor, which he is, but he's sounding like he's a bit educated. And he's using words there to really draw the attention of somebody that is intellectually minded. He's using words that will entice them to read it and to figure out what's being said here. He gives them a document that challenges their mentality. He gives them a document that causes them to strain and say, what is he saying here? Who is he talking about here? This is what Luke does. And then John, you know, in the book of John, this book is seemingly written to everybody. In fact, John even said this book is written for anybody that would believe on the name of the Son of God. It's for whoever would want to believe on the Son of God. But what we have here, the text in front of us, is found in the book of Mark. Mark is not like any other book, because Mark records the most miracles that the Bible has about Jesus, what Jesus did. He records all of his miracles, 19 miracles Jesus did. It's almost as if Mark was a kid in the candy store. You guys probably like candy stores. As a matter of fact, when I'm done preaching today, I need somebody to meet me over here at the bookshelf or somewhere and get me a cup of coffee, because I'm going to need it, okay? Mikos, you owe me one for not coming up front. But the book of Mark is written to a Roman audience, and these people are people that are enamored with power. These are people who are enamored with notoriety and strength. And so Mark seems to pen these words to draw the attention of the Roman reader so that they'll look at these things and say, well, this man Jesus actually had power. This was not just some regular man. This was not just a regular old Joe Blow. This was somebody that we need to take a second look at. And so as I read the text, I'm looking in verse number 22 through verse number 26 where I just read, and I'm thinking to myself, God, you position this text practically perfect. You say, Brother James, what in the world are you talking about? Sometimes I talk too fast, so I need people to catch up to me. Let me help you with what I'm saying here. Let me slow this down and break it down for you, and hopefully you guys will get it. I'm going to break it down for you. Hopefully you catch what I'm saying, and if you don't, I got you in the end. I'll hook you up. I'm not going to leave you out there hanging, okay? Watch this. In the first portion of the passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 8, if you go back to verse 14 and read down to verse number 21, you'll find a story about how Jesus just fed 4,000 people with bread, 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. He fed 4,000 people with it. They broke the bread, Jesus fed them, and they had 7 baskets left over. And then they get on the ship, they're done with this conference that they had, if you will. They get done with this conference, and Jesus is kind of like just chilling out in the ship, and then we get to reading, and then we get down to verse number 18, and he says, these guys started to get a little nervous because they forgot and left the loaves of bread behind. And they get a little nervous and say, well, we might die of hunger here. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, how in the world can you die of hunger if Jesus just fed 4,000 people off 7 loaves? And you're in the ship with Jesus. So how in the world are you going to die of hunger? And so now, I'm not the only person that thinks that way. In fact, Jesus does. Look what he says in verse number 18. He says, having eyes, you see not, and having ears, you hear not, and ye do not remember. Look down at verse number 21. He says something here, verse 21, extremely important. He says unto them, Jesus, how is it that you do not understand? In other words, he said, how can you not see what I'm here for? How can you miss this? And then we have our passage of scripture. I'm trying to explain this out for you guys to catch something here. You're going to catch it in 1 minute. But then we have our passage of scripture where Jesus takes a blind man who can't see Jesus, and he heals this blind man of his infirmity. And then after he heals this blind man of his infirmity, you'll see the next passage of scripture that comes after what we read there for our text here that we're going to walk through. You'll see in verse number 27 through 30. Let me read what happens here. Jesus asked a question. You guys know it. And Jesus went out to his disciples and into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto him, that's all cool, fine, and dandy. But who do you say that I am? And finally, Peter, he pipes up and he says unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him That's verse number 27 through 30. Now, I read all those passages of scriptures way too fast to you. I gave you too much information here. So I'm going to try to see if y'all can catch what was happening here. I was telling you that if you learn in the Bible class, you're going to learn this in the Bible class. Sometimes there are things that are put in the scripture, miracles that are put in the scripture that are situated between a story or a teaching lesson. Somebody doesn't know something, so then Jesus takes an example and he teaches that example, and then he gives them a test to see if they caught what he did. I'm going to test y'all really quickly. So Jesus teaches them. They're on the boat. They say, Jesus, I don't know. I have no idea what you're going to do. I don't know how we're going to eat. And Jesus says to them, how is it that you cannot see? How is it that you cannot see? How are you not understanding? So then Jesus takes a miracle and he shows them that I can take and heal a blind man and give him his sight back. And then after he heals him, he gives him a test. He said, who do you say that I am? Then finally, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, look, I've been doing this for a while. I preach to men that have been high, that are asleep half the time. And if I can keep them woke, I can keep y'all woke. So let me give you this. I'm going to test you out really quickly. Here's a test for you. I just gave you all of that information. But I wonder if you guys caught it on this side. It seemed like this side over here is cognitively sluggish, okay? So we're going to wake them up. I said it too fast. Jesus is on the boat with them, and they said, I cannot eat, Jesus. And then Jesus takes and he does a miracle in front of these people. And after he does the miracle in front of the people, he heals a blind man. He asks them, what do you actually see? Who do you see me to be? And Peter answers correctly. Y'all too slow over here, so I'm going to step over here on this side. Where's the band at? I need to talk to them over here. They're not here, but I'll talk to them anyway. Jesus is on the boat with the disciples. Yeah, I can get louder amen over here. Jesus is on the boat with the disciple, and the disciples say, Jesus, we can't eat because we know you're on the boat and you just fed 4,000 people, but for some reason we feel as if in our spirit that you can't provide for us, even though we just watch you provide for 4,000 people who don't follow you on a daily basis. Okay, Jesus said, okay, well, I'm going to show you something. Let's go here. We're going to go to this spot called Bethesda, and I'm going to heal a blind man. I'm going to give him his sight back. And once he sees, he'll begin to see me correctly. So now after I teach you that, then here's the next thought for you. Who do you say that I am? Peter. Everybody should have piped up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everybody should have piped up and said it. But here's the greater thought of the text. You guys ready for it? It is a danger. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. It is a danger. Let me give you a rule of engagement. You can bark at me, yell at me, hoop at me, holler at me. It won't scare me. When I slow down in my speech, this is something worth noting. It is a danger to be in the presence of Jesus and miss his person. You can be right around Jesus and not see who he is. You can be in the presence of other people who know Jesus and not see who he is. That's one of the dangers of Bible college. We're around a lot of people who know Jesus. We're in Jesus' presence. Jesus shows up here all the time. He's here in the chapel right now. Take your eyes off the preacher and put your eyes on him. But you can be in his presence and miss him. This is the overarching thing in Mark chapter 8 right there. But Jesus takes this and he shows us this miracle here in the text. And I want to just go ahead and walk through this text because I think it's some pertinent things that we can learn here. And then I'm going to get some fried chicken and cornbread and baked macaroni and collard greens. Sound like y'all know something about that. In this story, Jesus is dealing with somebody that's blind. Now, preachers, I'm going to tell you, if you're a preacher, try not to use words that you don't actually know the definition of. And if you're going to use a word, give the people the definition so they'll know what you're talking about. And so we have simple words here in the text. And our word this morning is blindness. The word blindness, by definition, means a lack of vision. The word blindness means to have an infirmity or the absence in your area of vision. Let me give you a few symptoms of somebody that's blind. Number one, blind people go wherever somebody leads them. Number two, blind people are confined to somebody else's vision. Number three, blind people don't know direction. Brother James, you're preaching at Howells Anderson. I know. But there's no doubt in my mind there's blind people sitting in the room. Go ahead. They don't have direction. Well, somebody else got to lead them. Somebody else took them by the hand and led them here. That's fine and dandy. We're going to get to that in a minute. But eventually, you don't need Jesus to touch you.
Right.
So that he can heal you in this area of blindness. The problem that this man had was his whole life other people had been touching him.
Right.
Not everybody that touches you is going to be the person that heals you.
Right.
Not everybody that touches you is going to be the person that helps you. Not everybody that put their hands on you is going to be the person that cures you. But there is one touch that you can receive, and it'll bring you everything that you need. Here's the question we have before us this morning. How do I get this touch from Jesus that'll open my vision up? How do I do this? Well, I want to say, first of all, listen to me carefully. First of all, you have to associate with the proper people. Now, look, I don't just get up here and give my opinion. It's in the text, verse number 22. Look at it. The Bible said they brought him to Jesus. Now, the Bible isn't clear about who they are, but they are more famous than any of us could be because their names are, whoever they are, they're in the Bible. And they got credit for bringing somebody to Jesus. Now, I know not everybody here, if you're at the Bible college, they're going to teach you how to soul win, and I know not everybody here is going to be a Billy Sunday or a Billy Graham to fill a stadium. You won't be able to do that in your lifetime. It's not given to everybody to do that. But if you could tell a few people about Jesus and bring a few people to Jesus, you can glorify God that way. Hey, don't get into competition with everybody else. I led this many people to Christ. Listen, it's not up to you to lead somebody to Christ. That's not for you to do. You go do what God tells you to do, and he'll give the increase. That's not yours.
Right. Amen.
We're just vessels.
Amen.
And God wants to use us, and he'll use us however he sees fit. I might see one person saved next week. You might see 10. Praise God. We both saw some people saved, 11 people saved. Praise God. Don't get hung up because this brother over here has got more people brought to Christ than I do. Praise God, brother. I'm with you. We on the same team.
That's good.
If you're going to have your vision corrected, you got to associate with the proper people. Look what the Bible says. It says that they brought him to Jesus and they was looking for Jesus to touch him in verse 22. It says they brought him to Jesus and they brought him to Jesus with a presupposition. Hey, Jesus, we want you to touch him to heal him. Let me help you guys with this. You cannot control what Jesus do with people who you bring to him. Sometimes I have to parenthetically pause so people can catch what I'm saying. Jesus just wants us to bring people to him But you are not going to be able to dictate where they need to go, how they're going to serve Jesus. Amen. You can't do that. It's not in you. It's not for you to do. You can help them, but you can't. You say, Brother James, what are you talking about? It's right there in the text, because the next thing Jesus did, watch this. The very people that brought him to Jesus, what does the Bible say there? It says that Jesus did what? Took him by the hand, and what did he do? He led him away. Now, here's let me add integrity to this text, because we know that, you know, when people, you got to get around certain people. You guys have heard this preaching all of your life, most of you. You can't be around certain people. You can't associate with bad people. That's common sense, but that's not what this text is talking about.
Right.
Notice the people that he took them away from, took the man away from. The Bible says that he took him away from the people that brought him to Jesus. The people that brought him to Jesus, these were people that were good for him.
Right.
So you say, I'm looking through the scripture, and I said, Jesus, now why in the world would you take him away from good people? Why would you separate him for a season? Well, there's multiple reasons there. Sometimes people that are good for you and good to you will be standing in your way from doing what God wants to do for you.
Right. Amen.
Brother James, you tripping. No, I'm not. Listen to me. Jesus is about to spit on this man. I'm in the text. Ain't my opinion. I'm in the text. I mean, Jesus is about to hawk up a loogie and let it ride. He's about to spit on this man. And I'm sure, you know why I say it? Watch this. The people that brought him to Jesus said, Jesus, we brought him here. Now we want you, Jesus, to touch him. But Jesus doesn't heal everybody the same way.
Right. Amen.
It's several blind men in the Bible, and not one of them did he spit on like that. In Mark chapter 9, the next chapter over, he spits on the man in the mud and put mud in his ears and his eyes, but he didn't spit directly on him. In this text, he spit directly on him. One of them, Jesus just showed up and his presence gave him sight. One of them, Jesus just said, look, open your eyes, dude. You're good. Jesus doesn't heal everybody the same way.
Right.
And so we have to be careful as stewards of God that we're not telling Jesus how he ought to heal people.
Right. Amen. That's good.
We do what Jesus tells us to do and leave it at that.
Amen.
I like this. First of all, you need to associate with the proper people. The people that brought him to Jesus, I praise God for them. Praise God for them, because these people are named they. They didn't have any notoriety. We don't know their name. But they got him to Jesus. Why did they bring him to Jesus? They brought the man to Jesus because they wanted the man to have exactly what they had. They could see. And they said, I want you, I have an insatiable desire for you to have what I have. And they did whatever it took. If you look in the Greek, whoever my Greek teacher is, he's somewhere around here. If you look in the Greek text there, you're going to find out it was almost as if they forced this man to come to Jesus. He never asked them to bring him to Jesus. But the people that he was around said, listen, man, you're missing something. You need something. And I have it. And I want you to have what I have. Listen to me. Be careful of people who get upset because you get a chance to do certain things that they don't do, and they don't want you to be on their level, so they stay away from you. You guys are gonna get this out in the ministry. This is the best place you can be right now. You better enjoy it while you can. Because once you hit that ministry door, bro, it's the school of hard knocks. But you got to associate with people who are like-minded biblically.
Amen.
They're going to get you to Jesus. When you graduate from here, you're going to still need to go to Jesus.
Right.
You're going to need to go to Jesus more than ever.
Amen.
Associate with the proper people. Number two, verse 23, you got to just simply agree to follow them. Bible says Jesus led him by the hand. The Bible didn't say he argued. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't even know Jesus at that time. Jesus just grabbed him, scooped him up, carried him by the hand, took him away from the people and the comfort of everything that he knew, took him out of Bethesda. We'll get to that shortly. He took him away from his homeland, took him away from everything. Listen, some of you guys are going to make decisions in the next year, and it'll be because you're letting somebody else lead you by the hand.
Well, come on.
If you're here, you're here to follow Jesus.
Right. Amen.
This is how you're going to have a vision for what God has for you in your life. Agree to follow.
Amen.
There's no way in my, I was talking to somebody, giving a testimony this morning, doing some, what were we doing this morning? Some mentoring of some City Baptist students here at 9 o'clock this morning. I was doing some mentoring. I was talking to the three guys that were there. And I said, man, there was no way in the world, no way in the world I could have imagined what I have right now. I wouldn't have imagined. I didn't, in my mind, I never thought I was going to get married. My beautiful chocolate drop is hanging out up there with my baby up there. She in the balcony. Y'all can't see her, but yeah, she up there. The most beautiful thing in the building back there. You see what I'm saying? I couldn't have imagined it. I couldn't have prayed 10 million times for her. I couldn't have. I couldn't have imagined that God would have gave me three beautiful children. I couldn't have imagined it. But I'll tell you, mainly why I have it is because I've agreed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. That's good.
Amen.
I grew up in the hood in Chicago. I'm telling you. I mean, I grew up in the hard streets of Chicago. No joke. Been to jail, everything. There's no way that I'm supposed to be standing here in front of you right now. No way in the world. But God saw fit that I do so. Let me move on. I got to be done. Lord, have mercy. It's so much here, y'all. Y'all just don't know. Okay. Okay, y'all ready? If you're going to agree to follow, if you're going to agree to follow, you got to learn how to walk while you're blind. Okay. They like this dude going crazy here. What's he talking about now? Jesus didn't give the man sight before he started following him.
Right.
Jesus just grabbed the man by the hand and he had to follow him. He couldn't see where he was going. Some people have led you here and you're blind right now. And if you're going to start agreeing to follow today, you got to learn how to walk with Jesus while you can't see. You got to learn to walk with Jesus before he gives you the ministry.
Amen.
You got to learn to walk with Jesus before you become a famous missionary or whatever you're going to do, a Sunday school teacher. You got to learn how to walk with Jesus before you get there.
Amen.
If you're going to walk with Jesus, listen to me, you're going to have to, if you're going to follow him, agree to follow him, there's certain prerequisites you got to get to. I got to be done, y'all. Y'all, I got to quit for real. Here we go. Here we go. I like this. I got millennials in front of me. I got millennials in front of me. I want my vision, Brother James. I want my vision. I want Jesus to touch me so I can have vision for my life. Okay, watch this. If you're going to have that, you're going to have to learn to appreciate the process then.
Amen. Good.
Again, I'm in the text. I'm not moving away from the Bible. I preach the word. That's it. That's all. You're going to have to learn how to appreciate the process. Didn't I tell y'all that Jesus spit on my man? Now, I don't know who he is and what culture he's from, but I'm straight from the hood, Brother Snipes. And listen, you can come talking about church, all that, and if you spit on me, my brother, when I was unsaved, I'm trying to tell you, if you would have spit on me, it was going to be trouble, brother. Yeah, the church man came and spit on me. This is what happened here in the text. I ain't making nothing up. It happened. He takes and he spits on this man. I bet it was the best spit he ever felt. Here's a part of the process, y'all. Here's a part of the process. God will detach you for a season. He'll separate you for a season. From people you know, people you love, people you've been around, he'll separate you for a season. Why? Because Jesus wants to do an intimate thing with you that he can't do where everybody else is there.
Right. Amen. That's good.
Everybody can't be with you in your prayer closet.
Right.
Amen.
Everybody can't be with you always at church. Sometimes you got to sit at church by yourself. Just get your Bible and hear the word and just take it in. Jesus wants to do something inside of you, and so he has a process that he's going to bring you through, and you're going to have to appreciate the process. The process normally gets a bad rap. We hate the process. My grandma used to say, we live in a microwave society. We want everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. Some of y'all look at me and say, man, I want to be up there preaching too, man. Man, if I could trade lives with you right now, I would. There was a process before I could ever stand up and preach in front of anybody. And I've learned to appreciate the process. All the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, the good times, the bad times, the good, bad, ugly, indifferent. I had to appreciate all of it. This man had to learn to appreciate Jesus spitting on him. I'm done, y'all. I'm done. There's too much more here. I got 10 more pages of notes, but I got to sit down. The Bible says this, verse number 23. I want you to watch what it says. He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town, and when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands up on him and asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Uh-oh, Lord have mercy. Now, this is where I have a vacillation in my spirit. My spirit is fighting here because I'm like, why in the world is this in the Bible? Why is this in the scripture? I'm serious. I'm like, what in the world is happening right now? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus did so many miracles that if the books were to put them down, the world wouldn't be able to contain it. So why was this particular scripture in the text, in the Bible? Why was this chosen to be in there? Why was that put in there? The man, Jesus, okay, let me help y'all out. This is the only time in scripture, this is why I have the question, this is the only time in the scripture where Jesus does a miracle and it doesn't work the first time. Now, if you even a casual Bible reader or Bible studier, something inside of you should have said, hold on, what are you talking about right now? Not only is this the only time where Jesus had to do a miracle again, this is the only time that Jesus asked the question, how is this working out for you? I'm serious. Okay. Hopefully this will make them understand a little bit better. The book of Mark, right? The book of Mark is covered and littered with miracles, Brother Dominguez. It's littered with miracles. And in those miracles, you'll notice that every time there, and the word straightway is mentioned 19 times in the book of Mark. 17 times in the book of Mark, the word immediately is mentioned. This is teaching me that the pulse and pace of the book of Mark is immediacy. It's hurriedness. That's what Mark is about. So then why in the world is this in there? Because this doesn't fit the MO of all the rest of the miracles. Jesus has to do it again. Now, this is why I get a little irritated in the spirit, because I'm thinking, I'm like, God, now why you put that there? Because, I mean, we said Jesus can't fail. We said Jesus don't, you know, how could Jesus, did he have a bad day in the office? What happened here? I'm serious. Did he just spit on this man and then asked him, hey, man, do you see aught? He don't ask anybody else where they healed after he healed them. He just does it and keeps moving. But when you see something like this, this is a time, it's like a red flag jumping off the page for you because God is screaming something at you. He's screaming at you. What is he screaming? Let me give you the message that he's screaming from this text. Here it is. Jesus says, I have the power and the authority to take care of your situation immediately. But it is crucial that you experience the process. It's imperative that you experience the process. How many minutes I got? 1 minute, probably. Nah. I gotta obey the rules here. Y'all got to get to class. The process gets a bad rap. The power of God comes through going through the process. Let me give you one last thought, and I'm literally sitting down. That's too much to go here. Jesus heals this man. This is the problem. Here's the tension of the text right here. The man said, Jesus asked him, do you see aught? Do you see anything? The man's response is, yeah, I see men as trees. He responds with a complaint. Okay, again, here's where I have an issue, because the text should have stopped when the man said, I see. The man was blind. The text should have stopped there. In my opinion, I should have stopped there to save face for Jesus. But this is not about saving face for Jesus. Jesus did this on purpose. The man said, I see men as trees. Lord have mercy, I don't have time to go through all of this. But the miracle is that he sees. So the problem is not that he can't see. The problem is this. Listen carefully. I'm slowing down for you. The problem is this. The problem is that it's not that he have an incorrect vision problem. He can see now. The problem is that his focus is off. Bible says he can't see clearly. Where you at this morning? Some of y'all can see. Some are blind. Some of you can see, but you can't see clearly. You can't see clearly. The Bible ends this way. I'm going to end where I started. He said, I see men as trees walking. Now, the text told us early in verse number 22 and 23 that Jesus took him by the hand and led him away. That's what the Bible says, right? I ain't making it up. So who is he seeing here? He says he sees men as trees walking. He sees men as objects. That's a whole nother sermon. I'm not going to go there right now. Jesus says, if I don't fix your vision, sir, you're going to see people the wrong way. You're going to see them as an object. I looked up what trees meant in the Bible. You're going to see them as an object for your use so you can be seen like Zacchaeus. You're going to use them as an object like in Genesis where they get the tree of knowledge. You use people to get knowledge so you can get puffed up. I'm not going to go there. It's a whole other sermon. But he said, I see men as trees, which means he saw himself incorrectly. He saw others incorrectly. And more importantly, he saw Jesus incorrectly. He saw Jesus as a tree. He saw the Son of God as a tree. He saw Jesus, the one and only begotten Son of God. He saw him wrongly, but then Jesus fixed his sight. And when he fixed his sight, the Bible says he sees every man clearly, which would mean that eventually after Jesus fixed his focus, he was able to see Jesus and put him in his proper place. Jesus is not a tree. He's God, creator of the tree. I'm done tonight. Where are you at? Really, seriously. You can hide out in here all you want to. Put your suit and tie on, all of that. Good, fine, and dandy. Hide out. But God can see you. And he can see what you see through. He knows you're blind. He knows you can't see clearly. He knows you're unfocused. But, like we said at the beginning of the message, everybody said it, I need a second touch, Jesus. I want you to touch me again. This should be our prayer, our aim. Let us pray. Lord, we sure do thank you for this opportunity to speak your word. Thank you for the word of God. It's powerful. It's alive. Thank you for these listeners. Pray that you bless each one. Use them for your glory and for your honor. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen.